I'm not going to start off with a joke. I'll save that for the end. You know, Parshas Tzav, that's this week's Parsha. You almost wouldn't know it because of the Purim Yom Tov and the fact that it's Parshas Zohar. Parshas Tzav is one of those orphan Parshios. It's an orphan, in a sense. Nobody speaks about it. On a regular year, Parshas Tzav is the Shabbos of Parshas HaGadol. So you'd think, came a leap year, it's no longer Parshas Shabbos HaGadol. You have an opportunity to speak about Parshas Tzav. So what does it end up being? Parshas Zohar. So, and not only that, but you know, it's very difficult to speak about Parshas Tzav because it's all about karbonos. All the boring stuff. So it's hard to speak about it. But I'd like to venture that there's a tremendous connection between what's going on, something that's going on in Parshas Tzav, and something that goes on in the Megillah. Now, in the section that talks about the Karban Chatas, it tells us about how you deal with the kalim, the pots, in which the Karban Chatas was made, when it was cooked. The Pasuk says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, it says if you had a kli cheres means it's earthenware, like a china dish. If it was cooked in a pot that was made of china, the pot has to be broken. But if it was put and cooked in a pot that was metal, then you could kosher it. Now, before Pesach, that's wonderful to speak about, because when Pesach comes, you can't kosher your china dishes, but you can kosher the metal ones. You take the metal one pot, you put it in a bigger pot that's boiling, and you cook it, and you dip it in boiling water, and it becomes kosher. And in fact, the same way that a milchik pot, let's say, if you had a piece of flapsix that fell into the milchik pot, and it made the milchik pot tray, you can kosher that milchik pot because it's metal. You put in a big vat of boiling water, and it can take out the non-kosher stuff. How does it do that? Why does it happen like that? So the Gemara Pesachim, and a few times in Gemara Pesachim, actually, one time in Avodah Zarah, we have a rule. There's a rule. There's a rule when it comes to these things. Three words. Kibol o kach polto. Which means, the way it was swallowed, literally, the way it was absorbed, that's the way it spit out. Like, for instance, if something treif went into the pot by cooking, so it's got to be spit out by cooking. If it absorbed by cooking, it's spit out by cooking. The absorbed, this is a, if you want scientifically an explanation, perhaps you could say, you know what happens, you have a fleshika pot, and you put some milk went into it by mistake, so the fleshika pot, when it was cooked all this time, the molecules of the meat went into the molecules of the pot, so the pot has molecules of meat in it. Now when you cook milk in it, so some molecules of milk went into the pot, and now in the pot you have molecules of milk and molecules of meat, which makes a treif. When you boil it, so heat stirs up the molecules, and even in chemistry, you know, things that aren't of like valences, if there's a lot of heat, then the molecules will combine, the atoms will combine. Same here. Here, the heat heats it up, and they fly out, and they're no longer present. Okay, so we have the rule, kibolo kach polto. The way it absorbs, that's the way you spit it out, right? So we can ask a very good question, and we could say, what right did Esther have to risk her life by going into the king to make an appointment to have a wine party? Think about it, people. Doesn't the Megillah say that if you don't have an appointment within 30 days and the king doesn't stick out his golden whatever, scepter, and if he doesn't extend the Shavit Hazav, then the guard at the door is going to take the axe and chop off the person's head. So Esther tells the Jews, Lech kenosis kol ha-Yehudim, she tells Mordechai, go gather all the Jews, v'tzumu alai, fast for me, al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshes yomim, gamani v'narasai yotzim kein, don't go fast, nobody's to eat anything, I'll do the same. And then I'm going to come to the king. Maybe they won't kill me. Why'd she have to do that? If you had an appointment 30 days in advance, you wouldn't risk your life. Why didn't she make an appointment? Plenty of time. If you know the chronology of the Megillah, you know that the lots were drawn in the month of Nisan for a year later, on Adar. So there were 11 months in which she could have made an appointment and gone in. She didn't have to risk her life. In fact, you can even ask, what right did she have to risk her life? After all, she's the Jew in the palace. We've got someone on the inside. There's someone in the White House who's a Frumma Yid. So we got a Jew in there. Why do we have to, why take a chance? She's going to talk to the king. Everything's going to be okay. What right did she have to risk her life? If she risks her life and she gets killed, then the Jews have no hope because there's nobody in the palace anymore. Maybe she had no right to go in and risk her life. Why did she risk her life? Couldn't she make an appointment 30 days in advance? Okay, that's a problem. But Esther knew something. She knew that the entire Purim came about because of a big trouble. What was the trouble? The Jewish people got involved and they said, you know, when in Persia, do as the Persians do. After all, it's not the year 2448. You're dealing now about 3400. That's 1,000 years later. You know, the Torah is old. Who knows? Is it really true? Who knows? Moses, you know, the mountain, maybe. We don't have to keep it anymore. It's so far away, it's 1,000 years. The king is new, the temple's destroyed. Get on with life. Become part of the society. Live like everybody else. The king invites you to a party. Go, have a good time. Why do you have to not drink? So they did. They went and they drank. And they drank and they drank and they drank and they ate. And they participated. And they assimilated as if there's no more Jewish life. So Esther said to herself, you know what? If I make an appointment to go in 30 days, all the Jews are going to say, hey, we've got a man in the inside. Oh, in this case, it was a woman. Okay. We've got a woman on the inside. Why do we have to do anything? So Esther said, listen, if I wait and make this political and make it diplomacy, it's not going to happen. Because the reason we got into trouble is because we didn't have a munet b'tochnon Hashem and follow the Torah. If I make this political, they're not going to get out of this. Because politics won't help. Diplomacy won't help. Armies won't help. Planes won't help. Bombs won't help. Nothing's going to help. Because it came about because we didn't keep the Torah. She knew kibolo kach poto. She knew the way we absorbed it, that's the way you got to get rid of it. So she said, fast, tsumu olai, al tochlu v'al tishtu, shloshes yomim laila v'yom. 3 days and three nights fast and pray. Do tshuva. Oh, then there's a chance. Because kebo lo kach poto. Because the way you absorb it, that's the way you got to get rid of it. And when you think about it, psychologically, that makes a lot of sense. If a person gets sick because they're not eating right, doesn't it make sense that the best way to get better is, if it's not too late, doesn't it make more sense to start eating right? If a person gets in trouble because they didn't keep the mitzvahs, doesn't it make sense that you get out of it by keeping the mitzvahs? And maybe that's the entire miracle of Purim. The entire miracle of Purim was dependent upon the Jewish people's doing tshuva, upon the Jewish people's turning back and coming to their senses. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a very famous din brought down, it's not even a din, it's a minna, and it's brought down to the Tamiyam and Hagim. There's a sefer Tamiyam and Hagim, which talks about why do we do certain minhagim. Ever ask yourself this? Here's a question. How come when it comes to Hanukkah, when it's a dreidel, you spin the dreidel from the top? But when it's Purim, you turn the grogger from the bottom. Sounds like a crazy question. Who would even bother asking such a thing? But it's an interesting phenomenon. When it comes to the dreidel, you spin from the top. When it comes to the grogger, you spin from the bottom. Why is that? If you take a look at the Al HaNisim on Hanukkah and the Haroves Riveinu on the Purim night, they parallel each other in a way. By Hanukkah it says, Ravta es vivam, danta es dinam, nokamta es nikmasam, which means, Ravta es vivam, you fought their battles, right? Danta es dinam means you judged their judgments, nokamta es nikmasam, you took their revenge. When you look at the bracha, harav es vivenu, it's the opposite. It says, harav es vivenu, the one who fought our battles, hadon es dinenu, right after the Megillah reading on Matzai Shabbos, they're going to say this. Hadon es dinenu, the one who judged our judgments. Hanokem es nikmasenu, the one who took our revenge. Why is that? Because on Hanukkah, we didn't do anything to deserve any help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all the help from above. It was the few in the hands of the many. It was an open miracle. But it came from above. So when it comes to a dreidel, you spill it from the top. But on Purim, the help came from below. Because we all fasted, and we all prayed, and we did tshuva. So it's harav es vivenu. He took our battles. It came from us. So we spin the grogger from the bottom because the help came from here. Esther recognized that the only way to do this is to spin the grogger. It's got to come from us on the bottom. It's got to be kebolo kach poto. The way you absorb it, that's the way you spit it out. If we could apply that to our personal lives, if we could apply that to our communal lives, and if we could apply that to our national existence, when Torah is so threatened, if we could recognize that the fault lies in the lack of Torah study, a tremendous increase of Limud HaTorah is going to bring about the exact opposite, proper positive effect, because it's Kabbalah Kach Poto. And now I have three questions for you, for the Megillah. Number one, why did they hang Haman with his 10 sons? Number two, what material was Esther's gown made out of? And number three, who danced on Haman's grave? Have a good Shabbos.
Who did it,
Dunce?
Who did it?
Not Barry.
No, but okay, so we stay there forever.
It would have been necessary.
Don't get too drunk. Don't get too.
Is that why?
And her gown was made out of polyester.
Are you listening to the answers? Her gown was made out of polyester.
The Fred Astor one, they'll never get.
Was that why you put those on? Why couldn't you put the second one on Escher Craig?
How are they going to get it?
You can say Cubs.
How are they going to get the one? How did they get the one? Who danced on Esther's grave? Fred Astor. They'll never get it.
Fred Astor. Fred Astor.
Rabbi, the first one I just wrote that out. They didn't want to waste it.
They're like on my blinkers, you know, like what's going on? I got that one.
Are you guys gonna? I told y'all, you guys should.